He talks to him. He's excited to have him, get on and that kind of thing. And the Iliamna Air guys, they're super great with our kids too. And it's just great to have awesome people flying our kids and keeping them safe so that they can play sports and travel. So, does anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you.
I just have a little feedback.
Okay.
Jeremy's in the math class, and the comments you made, those come from him too. Like, he's learning and he really enjoys the way Mr. Martin is working with them. And it was kind of nice to hear, that come from him, that that's working out, since we weren't really sure how that was going to go. So, yeah,
Yeah.
it's good to hear that a lot of the kids are feeling that way.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Thanks. Next is Akitan.
Good evening. I don't really have much to add to my report to you guys. I did was just reflecting on the last month or so, and I think the big things for me were for the Christmas program, how I think it worked out pretty well because we combined, the work that we'd been doing all year with cultural dance, the practices with that, which we've done pretty much every week, So those dances that the kids learned culminated in them performing it for the community. And then also the virtual piano lesson with the piano teacher in Unalaska. I think those worked out pretty good for my class. They were all engaged. And I think it's definitely due to, the teacher's personality on the video, because like it's hard to hold someone's attention on a Zoom, but she did really well with the kids and they all, picked up parts of their song. Like it ended up being like, they weren't able to perfect it, but out of the 7 kids that took the piano lessons, I know at least 2 of them were really, really excited about it. And there's the possibility that we can continue those piano lessons with Linda for the kids that are really interested in it. And I mean, it's pretty affordable. She's just this year started working with other communities and doing the Zoom lessons. So, and I think it worked out really well. I'm excited for the kids to have that opportunity. And I think this year was a learning, had a learning curve for me as far as the testing, benchmark testing. We were trying to balance it between, because a family was taking a vacation like in December, and we were preparing for the Christmas program. And I should have done the testing in December, but we saved it for January. And I think testing before the break was probably better than after a couple week break. But I mean, the kids were really great, and I'm proud of them and their ability to sit down and concentrate. Hopefully, it wasn't too terrible, but I think that's a learning curve on my end. So I don't know if you have, oh, I did put in a link to Linda's YouTube. She has, I think it might have been an hour or more long. She has students from Alaska, Nikolsky, and Akutan in the video. But if you didn't want to like scroll through all those to see the Accutane ones, I also put in a link for the Google slide, which is just my student. If you're interested in checking it out, if the link is in there. Do you have any
Right.
questions?
Right, hearing none. Thank you. Next up is the current financial report. Dave.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Franklin, and thank you for the kind words, Superintendent. The report for the most current period is in your packet, and I do not have anything to add at this time.
Are there any questions of the financial report? Looks like none. Thank you very much. Congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve the current financial report?
I'll make a motion to approve the financial report.
I'll second this, Carlene.
Roll call.
Brenda?
Yes. Yep. Took me a minute to find it.
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, thank you. Next, department reports, activities. Mr. Brown, you're back in the hot seat.
Hey, I'll try to be to the point, but there's a lot of info and pictures in there regarding the different sports. Obviously, we finished volleyball and wrestling back in the winter, so we were super stoked and excited about how our teams did at regionals and at state. So now, obviously, we're in the middle of basketball season, and we got three teams coming back tomorrow. Hopefully, weather's good and no issues there. Those teams stayed longer so that we could get additional games in. Before the tournament, I tried to advocate for Sandpoint and King Cove to be on opposite sides or different places in the bracket since they already play each other a lot. So yeah, return travel tomorrow. Lots of pictures, coaching quotes, you know, rather than me talking about the team, kind of cool to see what the coach has to say regarding their team. So that's why I do that. Karen and her school staff are working very hard preparing for regionals and really thankful for them. So yeah, we're making progress. We're all working on different components, and I don't think Karen said this, but we will probably need a ton of volunteering help for regionals. So for, you know, any King Cove community members that don't work for the school, please stop by, talk to Shauna and Karen. We could use all the help we need, you know, because we got apparel, we got concessions, front gate, scoreboard, scorebook. So there's a multitude of things that we will need assistance with. Okay, regionals, let's see. Two big projects this spring that principals, district office, and myself will be working on are revising the handbook. We want to make the handbook more clearly aligned to ASA's policies. And we're also getting feedback from principals, coaches, parents, district office. So yeah, big project this spring is revising the handbook, making it a little bit more concise and more directly aligned to ASA. So that's going to be something we're working on. And then we're also going to be trying to create the student activities calendar, get that finalized by the end of the school year. So those are two big projects for us after regionals. And then I guess the last thing I'll say is I felt really proud about this. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but ASA sent out an email to all the ADs across the state. And in the email, you know, there was probably over 50 or even over 100 schools across the state that weren't compliant with all of the physicals, coaching certifications, big teams, paperwork forms. And, you know, on the surface level, those things don't seem like a big deal, but, you know, professionally, it's really, so I felt really proud. You know, our parents are doing everything they got to, forms wise, and coaches and secretaries and principals are all working together. So ASA is pretty happy with us on that end. We haven't had any issues or, you know, concerns from ASA So I feel proud about that, because that, you know, to have good sports seasons, you got to have all the big teams, coaching certifications, physicals, all of that taken care of. So, okay. And does anyone have any questions? Okay, thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you. Next is Technology Director Austin.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. My board packet is, my report is in the packet, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them or explain anything or anything else you guys like answers for.
Are there any questions? All right, thank you. New business administrator contracts. Do you want me to read the names? Yes?
Yeah.
So in the packet, it looks like we have, we're offering contracts to Karen Keck, Matt Brown, Sharma Mungren, Shell Roof, Austin Roof, and Ryan Humphrey.
So I could clarify there something.
Oh, like for sure.
Yeah. So it's the current admin team, which was already, you know, we already reduced number of admin positions last year. So we're, you know, we'd be staying with that. The two changes, of course, would be one, Megan Gatlin has said that she's not returning. And so we since have interviewed and offered a contract to Ryan Humphrey for the new principal position at Sandpoint. And then of course, with Dave Nielsen resigning, he's not on there as well, or retiring. So those are the changes that you'd notice.
I would entertain a motion to approve the administrative and support personnel rehire recommendations.
This is Hillary. I'll make a motion.
This is Carlene. Second.
Carlene?
Yeah, Hillary and Carlene. Roll call.
Rhea?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next is the senior trip guidelines.
So this is an informational item and any discussion as a result. So nothing, no action on this, but based on board workshop previously and desire to prioritize the learning and experience that occurs as a result of the senior trip, I was tasked with and have put together guidelines that we could follow as a district for that senior trip. So I won't go through all of it, but you'll find on it, I've highlighted a number of areas, and places I highlighted are areas that maybe could be open for some discussion in the future. So one, the first place I highlighted, I first of all put, you know, objectives and outcomes based on conversations from the board of why we want the senior trip and why it's valuable for our students. Procedures section, I've highlighted eligibility. So that might be a place where we could, I did list some eligibility criteria, but that's a place where I think could use a little more discussion or review at least of eligibility criteria for students to go on the trip. Also think that'd be good to clarify a little bit about the number two under there, planning and approval. What exactly the board would like to see with trip proposals, and then what would be a due date for you'd want to see those turned in before approving a trip. One of the big, you know, my reaction to this, to the senior trip originally, was my concern over liability for the district and keeping track of and being responsible of the student funds that were involved. Those were the two areas mainly that I was concerned about. And so under financial considerations, number three, I've referenced the board policy that refers to, you know, student accounts. And that's just, I would want to make sure the board reviews that section for sure and kind of gives some feedback on that. Specifically, the part where this is from the board policy, a designated committee, including student representatives, faculty advisors, and parents, will manage the senior class student activity fund. That's language I took from the board policy. That's not in the board policy. And I just would want that reviewed. And if there's any questions about what that could look like, I'd be happy to chat about that. And then there were some issues over what happens previously. So I want to make sure we have a procedure for this of what happens when we have funds left over. You know, if there are ever funds left over in an account. So that's where I highlighted that last bullet point there under number three, any funds remaining in the account after graduation. And then I just have a bunch of dot, dot, dot. That would be something that I would want the board to discuss what we should do about that. And again, with all this, my issues previously were a lack of clarity around these things. So I just want to make sure moving forward, we have clarity. After a discussion with our district lawyer, I have put together a waiver form that I feel should be required for parents to fill out to help defer some of the responsibility from the district. So I also created a waiver form that could be reviewed. And then a couple, number six, talking about senior class advisor and how that role is designated and what their responsibilities are. Point number four there, subpoint four, I wrote that Aleutians Eastborough School District School Board approves the use of admin leave for the senior class advisor during the senior trip. Again, that's kind of had been past practice. And so I highlighted it because I want to make sure the board actually does approve of that before we make it procedure. And just to clarify, the reason why I would want board to understand that and approve of it is because by doing that, it does cost the district more because that means we're paying the employee their regular wage during that time. And we would be paying a substitute to replace that person, a substitute teacher while they're gone. So the district does incur some extra costs there. I just want everybody aware of that. So if there's questions or suggestions there, I'd love to hear them before we make this an action item in the future. Or I guess it's not going to be policy, it's procedures. So maybe it doesn't really have to be action item ever. But I'd love to get feedback.
Is there any comments or feedback that they want to share?
I think the first concern I have is where you talked about admin leave. Gosh, it's been a lot of years I've been on the school board and our teachers are utilizing admin time. What concerns me is there an option of them having to use personal leave to leave to go on school activities? I sure hope that isn't a discussion. They're teachers. When they go on a trip, you would want them to have admin leave. They're going and representing our school, our communities, and our kiddos.
Brenda, when we were in our workshop on this, that's what was discussed too, that we wanted to keep it where it was admin because they're doing all the work for the whole year and we didn't want it to where they had to use personal leave or go and take their, you know, their personal stuff. It's part of the school. So you said that was staying the same. That's what we done past practice.
So what I currently have in there is that it would be admin leave would be approved. And okay. I just wanted to make sure that everybody agrees on that. Yeah. That's the current language, Brenda.
And then the other one is talking about a waiver form for when kids travel on the school trip. I know that it's been said in the past that it's not a school trip when they go on their senior trip, but I disagree. It's an incredible learning opportunity that they go on that I really feel is essential to them being successful adults. They learn how to conduct themselves in a place away from their parents. They're going to different visual activities to look at. I've seen them where they go to museums. I've seen them where they go to different businesses. They've even gone. So that to me is a school sanctioned trip, and it we're still approving it through us. So it is a school sanctioned trip. Otherwise, why are we approving their travel for a senior trip?
As the reason I put that in there is that as superintendent, it's a big part of my responsibility is to make sure I'm protecting the school district from liability. So, you know, I have to say that it's a concern for me that we're opening up the school district for liability if something were to happen, God forbid, on a trip like this. So that's why I included it. But again, I highlighted it purposely to see if the board wants that or not.
We also have the Apitka trips that are in the same avenue. So if we as a board are approving them, I don't see where it would open up the board any more to any other activity that they're traveling for sports or government or when they go on their government trips. It's just no different. We're approving it. So we have made a motion when we make motions and approve their travel or their various activities. When we have that in a motion on our school board, it makes us responsible.
Yeah, I do think the super, at least in my short time here, the supervision and organization and structure of the senior trip is more loose than the Apitka trips or the close-up trips. So, but again, I highlighted that because I'd love to hear what the board prefers there.
Is there any other comments or concerns or questions?
I'd like to hear what Lynette and Jacqueline like, if they have anything to say, because Lynette, she's been a chaperone and she did a lot of fundraising and went on a lot of trips. And I think they've all done a good job, and I think we're doing a good job in the school district. I just want to see if she has anything to add or
any insight.
Any insight, yeah.
Well, I think we're off to a good start with that, definitely. And having it set in stone will, you know, for next year or the years after, I think it's a good start in having something there and having, you know, the guidelines, because then you'll have to adhere to them and it won't be as lax, as Mike said, as some trips. And so I think it's great.
I agree. You know, having the guidelines and you know what's expected before you start raising money or start planning, I think is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the insight.
Well, with those two that do them, I'll vote and how they.
I think, yeah, this is the first time we see it. I think it looks great so far, you know.
Well, technically, we don't have to vote because it's a procedure, not a policy. Yeah. So it's just
informational.
I'm going to suggest that you don't make it a policy. Yeah. Would be my suggestion, and then you keep it a procedure. The one highlighted item there that I think would be good to get some more feedback on. That was already really great feedback. Is the trip proposal due date? Just because that's actually probably coming up if.
Right.
If they're going to travel.
Probably in March. What does Lynette and Jacqueline think? Our meeting would be the end of March if we had the senior trips by the end of March, because usually they go in April.
I don't
Wouldn't
know.
You want it by February? Yeah. By the end of February?
So, I mean, I think so that you know fundraising and then be like,
well, oh, no, I know for this March year,
and,
but
in 2 months and
in the future, if we to bring the proposal to the board?
Yeah, because if they want to leave and they want to fundraise for it, like.
Oh, they still could.
Yeah.
Or fundraise.
Right.
But just when they bring the proposal to the board.
Yeah.
Like when they have everything lined out, where they're going and what the activities they're doing.
I would think like, this is Rita, I'm sorry. I would think like January right now, the senior class should be deciding if they want to go or not by now, by Christmas vacation. They already know if they want to go or not, just a matter of logistics of, you know, hearing the comments of, you know, previous, like, oh, we have to see if the board approves it or not. But so that way, if it's in writing that it has to be approved at whenever, you know, the January board meeting, whatever date that, you know, whatever that falls on.
That's my thought, like January, yeah, February,
definitely
that they should be able to have an outline saying where they're going, how much it's going to cost, and then kind of as we've done before is to approve upon the whether or not they have the funds available. So, and then if for some reason they don't have enough funds.
I think February is better than March. I mean, February is better than January. Yeah. To give them,
I'm thinking
that. Because they, on Christmas break, they are in December.
Lynette.
Well, that's what I was just thinking, what Hillary was too. I mean, because it'll give them more time over the break to finalize things. But I like having that outline. But I think February is a good timeline. Because they should know. I mean, they basically should know at the beginning of the school year if they're going to go on, because why are you going to raise money other than graduation things? But
all we're asking for is the outline and what the cost of it is.
Yeah.
Does that help?
I think February sounds good to me too.
So that gives this year's seniors, if we say February, it gives them a month to kind of pull all that together if we do that this year.
Yeah, they missed the deadline this year. Sorry. No.
We can give some grace this year.
Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. If they can't pull it all together by the end of February, I mean, we can always look at it.
Right. Yeah. We're not looking to tell them no. But we're looking to make sure it makes sense, right?
But to put it in the procedure for moving forward, I think that by the February board meeting.
Sounds good.
So are we going to go by this outline for this year?
Yeah, that's senior what I wonder trip? Too. What happens? Is this something that's going to be in effect for the seniors this year?
Yeah, I think some of it, it's a little too late, you know, to expect, reasonably expect them to, like, the...
A lot of it can, but it's new, so...
Yeah, I think, you know, like, with any good procedure, I think it'd be good to start it.
Yeah.
And then even if it's not perfect right. yet this year, we can mm-hmm. use this year as a way to tweak it a little bit as we go. There's things like the financial considerations, and when I talk about a designated committee, like, that's probably not... It's not a practice that's happened, so it's not fair to think that they're going to establish that all of a sudden right now. But I think it's still important to have that in there for the future.
Well, yeah, I think that's something you're creating and finalizing, and even though it's a procedure, I think that should start in the new year.
So minus what to do with any remaining funds, I've gotten good enough feedback here that I can put together, you know, they could finish the draft.
Just thinking back, like when I took the seniors to Hawaii, a kid went skydiving. I mean, is that what you mean by liability? waivers? That did happen.
Yeah, there's lots. You know, and even things like when a kid comes back with a tattoo and the parent's not happy with the district about that. I'm sure that would never happen, you know, in our communities, but just I've worked in schools long enough to have seen lots that open school districts up for liability.
But you can't get a tattoo unless you're 18, right? When you're 18.
Oh, in Hawaii, lots.
Yes.
I thought you had to be 18.
It just depends what tattoo place you go to.
Yeah.
place I go to, they won't do anybody under the age 18, even if your parents are.
Yeah,
there's places that will.
I can certainly, I appreciate Brenda's comments about, you know, the nature and the tone we wanted this trip, and maybe having that waiver is counter to that. I certainly in this draft, because this is still going to be a working draft, can put the waiver on it, and then, you know, everybody can decide.
I think the waiver just says, like, if my, basically saying if my kid comes home with a tattoo or if something, you know, something happens, that we're not going to hold you liable because I'm angry about that happening. And to me, that's just what the waiver is saying, is like, yes, we know something could happen. Hopefully nothing does. But if it does, then at least we're covered that way. We're, it can't.
I know when my boys went on their senior trips, I signed a paper because they wanted our insurance information.
Right.
And then
it's like a basketball trip.
Yeah. I know that was on there. That's all I know.
Well, I feel like, yeah, we're going
to. I'm not opposed to a waiver to help protect us.
Right.
Things happen. Kids do crazy things.
Yeah, especially.
And we're not saying that they can't do anything. It's just saying that the parent can't hold us liable for it.
Mm-hmm. And I've said this many times in many different ways. I know sometimes I sound like the voice of a lawyer. But my professional comment is always, I want our resources going directly to our kids, not to lawyers. That's the way I explain my caution.
Is there any other discussion or questions or comments?
Yes, Miss Lynette here.
No, I think a waiver is great. I think it covers everybody. And yeah. But I think there does need to be discussion on what to do with the like you said, the funds afterwards and where that'll go. And so, and I think we should ask, you know, parents and students a little bit of input on that. Like, will it go back to the school? Will you buy something for the school? Will it go back into the general fund? Would you donate it to a lower classman? Will it go to close up? You know, all of those things, all different ideas. So
what do we do with it now? Where does it go? Oh, it goes.
And then I think King Cove, I think they bought like a mat or something one time. Didn't you guys, Lynette?
All kinds of stuff.
Jacqueline did.
Did. I made the class I had buy carpets from school.
I remember that.
Most of them decide what they're going to do with it in regards if there's extra money left over. I remember quite a few years ago, a bunch of kids bought rings. They had used their extra money trip to buy rings. Some have bought sports coats, different things.
Graduation invitations.
Yes. So I think if in a way we should leave this up to the youth that are stepping out. If there's funds left over at the end of the year, you're graduating this year, what would you like to see done with, you know, even if there's 25 cents left, what would you like seen done with that?
Oh, like have a meeting with the senior class.
Yes. You know, before graduation and letting them know if there's looks like there's going to be funds left, what do you guys choose to do with this and give them a voice and ownership in it.
I always love hearing about giving students ownership. That obviously and voice is important, but I have to be the voice again of the lawyers here. Just to say it out loud. There are actual financial concerns around fundraising for one thing and then spending the money on something else. And so I just want to caution about that, that if people are donating to a senior trip and then it ends up some of it being spent on rings or coats for the seniors, there could be concern there for.
Yeah.
Well, I think in utilizing that and deciding in the way that you label that money, and having their decision in it, I think is important. But they also have a sponsor, a class, a teacher that helps them decide and navigate those areas. So I really think that they need ownership in that.
Yeah, and as long as we can get around that, there are always ways to get around it. So if we're transparent in the fundraising where we say this is a fundraiser for the senior class.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. different than saying a fundraiser yeah. for the senior class trip. So there's, again, just to be
okay,
transparent about, you know.
Right, wording.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them went to raising money for a while, and they're doing senior fundraisers. They usually just put on there. Because they use it, I mean, their fund that they get, they not only use it for their senior trip, they use it for their decorations and yeah. all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just in this senior fund is what
but it's. But good to know. We'll just say the class name rather than senior trip.
Rather than right. a specific purpose,
yeah.
like close-up. When they're fundraising for close-up, we know it's that's what it's going to.
Thank you. I know it sounds silly. Those are the things that keep me up at night. Yeah.
And then,
this is Rita. Oh. Sorry. That is just the thing is that we want to, I guess, blanket the comment. So we're not talking about this again next year and the year after and the year after. The whole idea is to have a procedures, something set in stone now, not set in stone now, but something that we could go from, because the seniors last year were surprised that, because they weren't notified what to do with their stuff. They weren't given the option and they had no idea. But so this is what we're trying to avoid in the future of, we don't want to have this conversation every single year of, okay, what do you guys want to do with your funds? These are the outlines of what should be done. So we're not bringing it back up, back to the board every single year that it's, there's some guidelines and is just the easiness of, helping prepare our seniors, the seniors that are doing it now on how to properly, say it. It's class funding versus senior trip because after the senior trip, they save some money for prom and graduation. Now, what happens if they have $1,000 left? What if they got, a donation from somebody to help them with graduation stuff that they didn't know about? Or this is a kind of to help, them, that class out that, has the extra funding at the end of what to do with it and how to say it in the right way, I guess. Instead of us talking about it again.
Thank you, Rita. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, just like our kids, we're raising money for, their 11th grade next year, but we're not telling people this class is fundraising for close-up and they're in the 9th grade, We just say the class of 2027. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I think that Rita's right. It should be something that just says where the money goes and or what the options are for the end of the year. So they can be accountable and make the choice themselves and just have it written down somewhere. Add a procedure again.
Yes, and that way they could take ownership of what they want the money to go to. If they know it has to go back to the school or if it could be, like how previous classes did, like a class ring or to help with graduation expenses that, personal graduation parties or to help with, the kids who are going to college, like how we used to, is help them buy a laptop for them or something. And so those are definitely part of the big thing of my push of having something written down in stone of, not in stone, but something, a living document of
yes.
of having, so we're not having to, ask all the time.
So maybe this yellow part that says any fund remaining, that question can just say, refer to the new policy we make.
Well, I'll finish that sentence.
Yeah.
That the financial committee that's noted here.
Yeah.
With student input will.
I mean, maybe they'll want it to go to the scholarship funds or the.
And maybe they can name where that place is going to be, where it's going to go at the same time of submitting.
Right.
Because then it's kind of that part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's
be part of their plan outline.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I can
put that. Having to think about it ahead of time rather than.
Right. And then after they get done with their trip and worried about graduation.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good.
Well, thank you. That's great feedback. That's enough for me to put together a working draft that, as Rita said, will be a living document from here on out.
All right. Okay.
Any more conversation? Carlene, you've been really quiet.
We got a couple years for that.
Okay, we'll talk to you in, we'll talk to you in a few years.
That's great.
So next is ratify the foam poll for the 2024-2025 calendar change when we're notified of the in-service day on the 27th. Is there a motion to ratify that foam poll for that change?
This is Brenda, I so move.
This is Hillary, I'll second.
Roll call.
Amy?
Yeah.
Carla?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Rita?
Yes.
Hillary?
Yes.
Carlene?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mm. Next topic, 2025-2026 calendar discussion. Mm. There are multiple options in the packet.
That's a bunch of information too. A lot of
and information with feedback from, it looks like parents,
right.
Students, and staff. Discussion on this or feedback?
You've got parents and guardians on there, but you don't have grandparents. We had a lot of questions from grandparents. How come they couldn't be involved? So I know there is one lady who did do it from King Coven. She said, I did it anyway. I said, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, let them know they're still parents.
I told him, I said, thank you very much for being involved. She was just tickled.
Is there a calendar anybody's like leaning towards?
You see that, everybody? It's 50-50 like on the August. Of, yeah.
I think we should put Carlene on the spot because Carlene did not. Yes. Your community is not represented, so I think you should be the tiebreaker.
That was my mistake. I didn't realize I was supposed to share that, so that's on me.
Yeah, I was asking Nikki. I was like, "How come I didn't see you?" She said, "I don't think I got it. I don't think I got it either." So I was like, "Hmm, I don't think I got it. I don't remember Shane saying that he got it." But yeah, I seen that was 50-50. I would like to start a little earlier. Have a shorter break and then get out a little earlier. I know the kids, well,
is that not,
I mean, it said it was 50-50, and of course, you know, people are kind of up and down there, sounds like, but yeah, we do Saturday schools, and just because I know, you know, once it starts getting so light out, my kids do not want to go to bed at night. You know, it's hard to get them to bed at night. They stay up late, so they don't want to get up. And then we, you know, we go to Icatan, we do this, we do that, we pick sea legs, we there's just a lot of things we'd rather be doing than
going to school. Your kids at school.
School's the best.
Where is the place that they have a subsistence calendar?
It's a few places. I was talking to the Lake and Penn superintendent about that. So I have
these kids will never
details on that.
They're all gonna get both jobs.
I mean, that's another option that we haven't talked about that we could petition for.
I don't know. I like the later start, but but I felt like September was too late. I just felt the last week in August is like that happy medium spot. But
yeah.
And then just listening to my own kids' feedback after this calendar, you know, the way he was feeling. And I don't know. I don't like going 2 weeks earlier because I just feel like our summer is July and August. And so missing out on all of, you know, 2 weeks yeah. of August being stuck in school or, you know.
I also think that starting the day after Labor Day, after the Silver Salmon Derby is like hard to like. At least put an in-service day that Tuesday too, because the staff, the school is very involved with the Derby here too. You know, it's a lot to start school a day after Labor Day.
I don't know. I don't have one calendar that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I like going forwards. That's my vote.
Staff members back there, do you guys have a put you guys on the spot?
We
you guys
have to start commiserating with them as we speak.
Your view? I know that for fishing and it's getting later and later, that probably starting after Labor Day would be best. But then having the ferry schedule would be nice.
This is scheduled out. I think they said it's around August, isn't it?
It is.
August.
Principal Keck here in King Cove likes number 3.
He was. I do like it that it starts a little bit like a couple weeks later. I mean, I like that whole month of summer too in August. It's just that they get out so late in May, which it seems like a long time.
May just still feels like winter to me. That's why it doesn't bother me to be in school still.
So I was, I like the one that has, they'll start after Labor Day and a shorter spring break and then getting out, you know, the middle of May or so. Then we avoid the ferry schedule, you know, conflicts maybe when people are trying to leave. And they still have time, like I'm looking at it from, you know, now, like maybe a teacher perspective, they still have time to shut down the classrooms and put things away and all that, if they're leaving. For fishing, you know, they open stuff for fishing in May a little bit more, they can fish late into August. And that long break, that long spring break, I think is really long, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 days, that whole week plus the Monday, seems like a really long break coming back. I feel like this year even is going to like come back, feeling like coming back to a new school year in a way. But anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Carla, do you have any discussion? This is only discussion. We're not voting on a calendar tonight. So this is just discussion.
Well, I agree. I'd like to start after Labor Day. I think that's just, there's too much activity going on that week before Labor Day with the Derby and stuff. I think it would just be, it's just hard to be in school. But I also like getting out earlier in May. And I agree, spring break is too long. My grandkids would rather be out earlier in May rather than have a 8 to 10 day spring break.
And sometimes for working parents,
the only one that has the long spring break with the after yeah. Labor Day start is calendar option number 1.
Yeah, I like number 3.
And the with the spring break vacation time is a good thing when we have our, you know, our amazing basketball teams. If they make it to state, that's where we like to go and support them. A lot of community members, family, kids, you know, not only the students, you know, if they're going, students do go, not only athletes go, but
our fellow students go, and even from other our other communities, we go and support the other teams as well. But so that's the only toss up that I have with the whole march. With the, that if our teams, if one of our teams make it to state, we do like to go support them.
How about Accutan? What do you guys think in Accutan?
Karen, still on? Yeah, no.
So Rita, she like number one? Rita, you like number one?
That's like...
I don't know. I like the idea of starting after Labor Day, just all the same feelings of everybody else, but just the... It is nice to have the March time off. So the teachers who are, you know, we have how many teachers who are parents that when their kids are playing at state basketball, it's hard to see them sit back and when, you know, half the town is out in Anchorage watching and they're having to stay, you know, we're making them stay at school where they can't go support their own kids because they have to, you know, be in do school. So that's the only part of it for me, but of just having that march off is, and we don't know that. We would predict, we would love for all of our teams to get to go every year, but we don't know that. Yeah. So I don't have a favorite at this time. So that, sorry, Hillary, that doesn't help. Just my thoughts.
So where did those days go? Are there in-service days?
One more thing too, Briette, is I kind of like starting after Labor Day. And then, but then we kind of do our own thing. Like we have a lot of Saturday schools here and then we're getting out a little earlier than everyone else this year again.
Gotcha. So their calendar looks a little bit different than ours. Yeah.
Where did all the vacation days go? Somewhere else?
You're talking about the calendars that don't have a spring break? It just makes the year a little shorter.
Yeah, like a week.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like if we know the days, I mean, like Halloween was on a Thursday. We know that this year it'll be on a Friday. Mm-hmm. But if we can put some vacation days on days where it might be, like I said, the day after the Derby when we open, can't that be like start with a vacation day just because?
And that could certainly be an in-service day, which counts as an in-session day.
Or I know somebody mentioned like the Russian Orthodox calendar, like maybe a vacation day on, you know, Russian
Christmas
or things like that. Or
and they're lined up on a lot of the federal holidays right now, the in-service days are.
That's good because sometimes they're not and it's like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't we used to have in-service days like on Russian Christmas and stuff in January?
It's just hard when you have the 10 days in January or, you know, December, January already. So I thought maybe, was it President's Day in January? Might be a good.
There's three holidays in January.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of the entities do take their Russian, I mean, some do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Is that in the middle of the
day?
It's Tuesday. It's a Tuesday every year. And then there's President's Day Monday the Monday. I just know working there's three out of the four Mondays that. So I don't know.
Okay.
Well, something to think about, and if you guys have any other compelling feedback for this, be sure to let
Brenda have any
Cheryl
feedback?
Know.
Do we have a input from the teachers?
Yeah, that was my question.
It was all done in the survey. There was staff that participated in the survey as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I seen that.
Could we, Rayette, could we maybe get it down to two or three and send it out again for everybody to look at it and make sure those other communities...
Maybe eliminate one calendar.
Yes, thank you.
I think we could probably get it down to two with the option of comments and have that response for you for the next board meeting where maybe an action can be taken.
Okay, perfect. How's that sound?
Sounds perfect. Good.
And then make sure that we have all the communities know about it and get their right. input. Yeah, get their right. input would be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, really good.
Yep. We sent them to staff today. Okay. We did have a request for an August with a week-long spring break from a teacher. So it's all very split. Like, there's a lot of different. Yeah.
We're not going to make everybody happy. Yeah. That's just going to be the way it goes. We're going to have mm-hmm. to do the best we can. And
yep.
Well, we should go and try to do a vote and see if there's one we can eliminate, so we can either have. 4, 3, 2.
I think even with the feedback that we got this evening.
Can we have two more new ones after this?
From the feedback this evening and from the poll results, I really think we can get it down to the two most.
And then send that out for, and try to get all the sites. If you're not getting back from some of the sites, maybe call them and say, can you please give this to your staff and parents?
We'll send it directly to Carlene.
So that, because we want everybody.
Maybe Carlene can share.
Because it does affect everybody. It's,
of course.
So I think it's important. Okay.
Well, thank you. That's good feedback.
Well, we had 11 from Accutan. I thought that was pretty mm-hmm. good. But we had 0 from Falls Pass.
They're working
yeah,
on.
I seen it and I was like, huh? Wow. Where'd this come from?
Okay, let's keep moving. We still got a yes, few items to cover tonight.
That was good.
Okay,
but a week long was 66.
Right,
66.7%.
The majority of the people who voted wanted a week long vacation, as
and
much
spring
as
spring break
in yeah. March. In March.
Yeah, 66%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one is ABSD scholarship timeline.
We're just moving on.
We're moving on. We can discuss that forever. So let's work on the scholarship timeline.
Don't you usually have it in April, the end of April?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll. So we'll post it tomorrow if the board's okay with that. And then we're looking at April 11 for the deadline.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to let the students know. Could you let them know about the AASB scholarship also? When was
the June Nelson?
Yeah, June Nelson scholarship.
I may have forwarded that already if it came out.
Okay. But could we just put a little blurb on there about mm-hmm. that? So, because that's $1,500 that they get from.
Nice.
And there's going to be 15 students.
Yeah. So then we can have the award, the scholarship winners at the April board meeting.
Okay. I took a picture of it.
So it's good. April 11th it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. The next is action item.
I do have a question. Sorry, Rayette.
Go ahead.
So I did have a couple people ask, and I do know that I'm not supposed to. Well, not supposed to, but it's easier to give admin a heads up what I'm asking. But I've been asked to ask it publicly, so that way people do know that I'm, you know, asking questions that, you know, get asked to me. So the question is, which I know you may not know the answer, but why did we change this year? Excuse me. Why did we change this year to one payment versus two payments for the scholarship?
We tried to make it easier for the bookkeeper. Because it's always a lot of reconciliation and recalculating every year. So we thought it might be easier if we try to do it in one payment. But I think we're going to go back to the old way because it still ended up being a lot of work.
Perfect. And that's what I was thinking. And then I know that we did have some students who chose not to go back. So did we end up getting the funds back then for those students, or are they just gone then, the full amounts?
I don't know those situations.
They usually send the money back to Sherilyn. That's what they did before, I know.
I mean, the money goes directly to the schools. Mm-hmm. So it's like if they didn't attend, then they, yeah, if they
so enroll. So if you gave a student the full scholarship monies, and most of the young people who did come back into the region, they're still going to school. They're just not paying for room and dorm. I know that the ones that came back to King Cove are still doing college classes, so they are still full-time enrolled students, and they're just not paying for the dorm because you're sitting